Folgen, genau so ist es.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Biotest conference call. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now hand the floor over to Monika Buttgereit, Head of Investor Relations.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to our today's conference call with respect to our news of Biotest selling the U.S. therapy business of BPC to ADMA. May I now hand over to Bernard Ehmer.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Bernard Ehmer speaking. We'd like to give you the rationale and all the details of our press release. We issued at 1:00 European time this afternoon. So this transaction we described in the press release is part of the Biotest Group strategy to limit our risk, also to utilize our competencies by developing partnerships and creating new options for future strategic development. So the first part is you see that we are going to realign our U.S. therapy business. And so one key element is that we will continue to have a strong focus on the global expansion of our project Biotest Next Level at the dry ice production site, while we'd like to participate also the future success in the United States therapy. We face an unforeseeable delay in the ramp-up of our manufacturing of BVGAM at the Boca Raton production site of BPC. And this site we cooperated with the ADMA and BPC have been cooperating already in the past with BPC manufacturing in its production site, the hyperimmunoglobulin RI-002, during the product development. RI-002 is a hyperimmunoglobulin against RSV virus. It's important to note also that we continue and will also expand our successful U.S. plasma collection organization at BPC, as this is of utmost importance for our Biotest expansion project, Biotest Next Level. So let me explain also the construct and the deal. So we are going and we are about to sell the U.S. therapy business of BPC to ADMA. We will receive 50% minus one share of ADMA Biologics upon closing of the deal, which is expected in the first half of this year. By doing so, we secure participation in the future success of ADMA. We receive also, Biotest receives the distribution right of the current product and the right of first offer for the distribution of future products of ADMA for Europe, Near and Middle East, and selected Asian countries. Including one-time expenses, Biotest will report a loss of 80 million as discontinued operations. Until closing of the transaction with ADMA, the U.S. therapy business of BPC will be shown in the future as discontinued operations. And now I'd like to ask Michael just to go through the discontinued operations, which is not audited to date.
Michael. Yeah, thank you very much, Bernard. Michael Remroth, CFO of Biotest. You are definitely certainly interested in getting to know more details how we come to this one-time loss of 80 million as earnings after tax being shown in our discontinued operations business. First of all, it contains the, let's call it, regular loss of BPC therapy in 2016, which will amount to 30 million euros. And on top of that, one-time effects of 50 million will be added on. And those 50 million are containing, first of all, the depreciation of the goodwill of therapy at BPC's level with an amount of 16 million euros. We had also to come to an agreement with Kedrion to terminate the up to now exclusive distribution, BVGAM distribution contract BPC had with Kedrion. The amount we are going to pay to Kedrion adds up to 15 million euros. We have to consider transaction and restructuring costs of 4 million euros. And we had in the end, due to the fact that we are no longer be able to sell BBGAM, a depreciation of product, of BBGAM product, in the amount of 10 million. That adds up to the to 45 million one-time expense. In addition to that, the value difference between the assets transferred to ATMA and the received ATMA shares as they have been valued at the 30th of December 2016 and the plasma centers we receive, the value difference is 5 million. So if we add that to the one-time expense, we add up with the 50 million plus, as I mentioned, the loss of BPC's therapy business in 2016 of 30 million will give come then to this earnings after tax loss of 80 million to be shown as discontinued operations.
So, and the purchase agreement between BPC and ATMA Biologics. What is included? Biotest, or the BPC, transfers to ATMA the production facilities, the land and office buildings of BPC at Boca Raton. The product currently sold by BPC NAB is a product, hyperimmunoglobulin NABHB, and also we sell. We transfer the toll manufacturing contracts. In addition, also personnel working for the U.S. therapy business. And we will contribute 11.5 million
euro.
Sorry, 11.5 million euro as capital increase, as well as a loan amounting to 14 million euros to ATMA. The loan bears a 6% interest and has a term of 5 years. And in addition, Biotest will also contribute up to 11.5 million euro to future capital increase of ATMA on equal terms as third-party investors. And what do we receive from ATMA? So we receive 50% minus one share of ATMA, representing 25% of the voting rights in the company upon closing. In addition, we will receive two plasma centers in the United States as of January 1st, 2019, and the number of our plasma centers operated by Biotest thus will increase from 22 to 24. And in addition, the distribution right for current product and right of first offer for future ATMA products in Europe, near Middle East, and selected Asian countries. And in context of this transaction, Biotest and Catrion have mutually terminated the current contract on the distribution of BBGAM in the United States.
So if we summarize it number-wise, we will end up the year 2016 our financial statements with the numbers be shown for the continued operations, and this number will be 30 million euros higher than what has communicated up to now. And we have on top of that the loss of 80 million euros for the discontinued operations, as I have explained it in detail a little bit earlier.
With this, we have come to the end of our introduction to the deal, and we would be looking forward to receive your questions now.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and the star key on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to withdraw your question, press 9 star again. Please press 9 and star to state your questions. And the first question comes from Torben Teichler from Hauck & Aufhäuser. May we have your question, please?
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. I would just have a question on the deal structure. Did I get it correctly that these 11.5 million you put into the company or paid to the company, was that a capital increase? Or was that sort of a compensation, a dowry for sort of restructuring expenses the buyer would possibly have with this business. Then the second question relates again to the possibility of a further capital increase in the future at equal terms. Would that increase your shareholding in the company, or would you sort of try to get diluted so you wouldn't have to consolidate this company? So is there a risk basically of this company ever being consolidated in the foreseeable future? And then I would have a last question on the sales cooperation with the buyer. How does that work? Are you basically buying the products from them and then selling them on, earning whatever margin you can earn, or how does that work, and how does it fit into your product portfolio? So what are they adding in terms of product, what you don't have yet, and where is sort of the opportunity for you in selling these products? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Teichler, for your questions. Answer to the first question, the first 11.5 million euro we provide as cash funding to the ongoing and continued operations within ATMA, so they can carry on the business, produce the products, continue the contract manufacturing, and pay also the employees they are taking over. The second 11.5 million capitals we might have to invest is really part of a capital increase, and as we explained, it will only happen if there are other third parties taking part in this capital increase with the same amount, so that we would get shares but would keep our level of interest, because others would match it with the same amount, so that there no dilution would take place, but also no increase of our stakeholding in ATMA. And with regard to the prospective sales activities, Bernhard is going to answer.
The product portfolio, the initial part of the product portfolio is not overlapping. So the first product would be a product, it's a hyperimmunoglobulin with a high titer against RSV, or the virus, which has an impact on lung diseases. This is very... it is a very problematic virus, in particular in patients which are immunocompromised. So this is of high medical importance. And further products, ATMA is currently exploring additional hyperimmunoglobulin candidates. And this would also not overlapping to our existing portfolio. This would be complementary what we are doing, and hyperimmunoglobulins have a higher margin than the standard IVIGs. So, and also, when we spoke about this transaction, about this deal, it's important to note that the Boca facility, in our opinion, and also the opinion of ATMA, is most suited for specialty products rather than for high-volume optimized IVIG. So with the lower volume but specialty product, the facility has a much better use.
Okay. But maybe then a follow-up question. If that's the case, why did you enter the U.S. with BV gum, and why, for example, in the years since you introduced that, you didn't also introduce, for example, some hyperimmunoglobulins, where you obviously already have a very strong portfolio already in Europe, or in Europe and the rest of the world. So where really was the need then to sell the facility?
No, the point is that you have always, you require a lot of time to develop a product. So this hyperimmunoglobulin is also a regular development project, and it takes years to go through the development process, meaning manufacturing development, but also the clinical development. So ATMA had to perform clinical development, different phases, but also a phase 3 study, where they included patients with a primary immune deficiency, and they looked on the infection rate of these patients. So there is a certain, you need a couple of years to run a development project. So it's not just that you say, right, I do hyperimmunoglobulins, and then you can enter the market. So it's a time of investment, it's a time of questions. And ADMA did this development for their RSV, you know, and it's in the process to be reviewed and approved. It takes time. But the question is, hyperimmunoglobulin strategy in the United States as well as in Europe is a good path forward.
All right. Okay. Great. Thank you.
And the next questioner is Marietta Mimitz from Equinet. Please, it's your turn now. Ms. Mimitz, your line is open now. I'll go to the next questioner, and it is Mr. Klaus Schlote from Solventis. Please, it's your turn now.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Klaus Schlote speaking. I have a question concerning the one-offs. As far as I can see, most of them are cash equivalent, the same number. Only depreciation of goodwill is not cash relevant. The rest is cash relevant, right?
No, the depreciation of the VBM inventory is also not cash relevant.
So 26, not cash relevant.
Yep.
So do I understand it correctly that you completely drop BB gum, so it's not produced and sold anymore?
So the remaining part, you know, is the BB gum, which is in the channel, you know, through Ketrion. So Ketrion will also inform their customers today. I think right today, you know, they start at 10 o'clock this morning, U.S. time, to talk to their customers, informing them that in the future, at least for this year, BB gum will not be available for the patients. So there will be no further deliveries from us to Ketrion and from Ketrion to the market. There are still some amounts of BB gum in the market, and this will be completed. And now Ketrion is speaking with the customers that they're going to switch the patients to another IVIG.
So BB gum basically is over. It has no future.
You cannot say, because you know, ADMA has the rights of BB gum.
Okay.
You know, they will have the freedom to do and start to work with authorities, work in the manufacturing facility, and decide at the end what they're going to do. So the license of BB gum, it will be a licensed product in the United States.
Mm.
The BB gum license has been transferred and will be transferred to ADMA.
Mm.
And ADMA is going and will decide how to utilize the manufacturing facility. But the first focus, of course, will be on the hyperimmunoglobulins. And the hyperimmunoglobulin depend also on BB gum partially.
Mm. As far as I can see, the ADMA itself is quite loss-making. 9 months, 2016, a loss of $13.4 million. So it appears to me that this company is not selling products in an efficient amount to make a profit. The question then is, for me, the products you mentioned, like RIO02 and so on, are they now marketable, or is there still development necessary? When can we expect revenues from that product? Please make some comments on that.
Okay, the product is currently under review, and so the clinical part, you know, has been accepted by the authorities. And so the relevant part was that the manufacturing part, or the CMC part, you know, has been, you know, there was a complete response letter, and the FDA was not yet prepared to grant the license, but this was depending also on our facility in Boca Raton. So the expectation is that there, as a product has excellent clinical data, that the product will be approved as soon as a warning letter of the facility and the remaining issues with the authorities have been resolved.
So we can expect, or ATMA can expect, revenues from that product in the course of the current year or next year?
So here this question, of course, goes to ATMA, but on the other side also to us. So in our case, in our assumptions, we have a very careful assessment. So we did not plan for having any revenues in 2017. So we expect that revenues would come from 18 onwards.
Mm. And do they have a partner for marketing the product, or are they doing it on their own, or how does that work? I mean,
okay,
in Europe, obviously, it's BioTest, as my understanding.
Okay,
but
so it's not us. Therefore, these questions will come to ATMA. You know, they're also hosting investor conference now in parallel.
Okay.
Therefore, it's difficult for us.
Okay.
Of course, we know everything, but I think this is, I think this question should go to ATMA.
Okay. Then the Dr. Ramoth said that BPC, U.S. therapy business made a loss of 30 million in 2016. Were there any specific reasons for the loss? What is driving the loss, and how does that compare with 2015? Can you make some comments, please?
It's mainly due to the fact that they have only used the existing facility to a very low portion. I think we pointed out to you earlier that the capacity of the facility in Boca Raton is to produce 1.5 tons of BB gum. We have never achieved this high production volume. And we ended up with producing roughly 800 kgs this year. So half of the facility was not used and utilized. And therefore, the high unabsorbed costs of this facility are responsible for this loss of 30 million. It had been a little bit higher in the year before, because in the year before, the utilization rate was even lower than in 2016. And therefore, by increasing a little bit the production volume of BB gum in 2016, we have been able to reduce the loss by roughly 5 million, ending up now with a 30 million in 2016.
And my last question, you said income, I don't know, are you talking about EBIT or what will be 30 million higher? The minus 30 goes, is dropped from continuous operations, obviously, and goes to not continuous operations. And
yes.
Is that on EBIT level or on what level is that?
It's on the EBIT level, yes.
EBIT, that means we are now talking about 60 to 65 million EBIT in 2016 on continuous operations.
Since we are in the middle of the phase of closing our books and getting the financials audited by our auditors, we have no final number for 2016. I guess you are deriving it from our guidance, and we have no reason to say anything about the changing of guidance. So in the end, your numbers, or the calculation you just did is correct.
Okay. Are there any problems resulting from this loss or the depreciation of 80 million with a view on your credit facilities and so on?
No, there's nothing.
You are lucky.
Yes, we are.
Okay, thank you.
No, that's due to the strong balance sheet we still have even after this loss.
I hope it will continue.
Thank you very much.
Next up is Marietta Mimitz from Equinet. Please go ahead now.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. And I do apologize to begin with if I'm asking something that's already been asked because I briefly got disconnected. I actually have a whole bunch of questions, but I'd like to start with some longer-term questions. So the first is, are you reiterating your 1 billion euro sales target by 2020? And are you also reiterating your 18% EBIT margin target by 2022, which I believe is very much supposed to be achieved on the back of the shipment of U.S. intermediates to Dry Ike? And, I mean, can you just generally explain, are you expecting intermediates to be shipped in the future? If so, how do the terms differ now that the production facility belongs to or will belong to ADMA? And can you just briefly summarize the unexpected production problems that occurred in the U.S. and that could not be repaired? And I think, I mean, those are sort of my questions for the longer term, and then I'd like to come back and just ask you a few more technical questions on the shorter-term implications. Thank you.
Okay, I take the unexpected production. Okay, ramp up. So when we signed the Skatrion deal, you know, we had there were certain assumptions behind it, and what we experienced that this ramp up, you know, from these 600, 700 kgs we had the year before to 800, 900, 1 million, which we intended to make in 2017, 2018, and then up to 1.5. We saw that it's much, it's more burdensome. And we had to do also in conjunction with the authorities, we worked closely with the authorities to make minor modifications in the manufacturing process. To make a long story short, it did not work out as anticipated, and toward the end of the year it became clear, and then we had to take the decision whether we can afford to take the risk to maintain also this partnership and pay fines at the end of the day if we are not delivering the quantities we intended to deliver. So when we spoke with Catrion, you know, we reviewed everything again from the very beginning, and we asked ourselves whether we would do it again. And and both parties, Catrion as we said, right, it made perfect sense, you know, because both parties believe that this is the right move forward. You know, they have the distribution network, and we could ramp up the facility. But at the end of the day, we were not successful in ramping up. And so in order to avoid further losses, including fines, we terminated this agreement with Catrion.
With regard to the long-term perspective...
What exactly was the problem in ramping up? Sorry, can I just follow up on that? What exactly was the problem in ramping up? I mean, why did the ramping up not work out? Was there some sort of a technical problem with the scale-up? I mean, did the
product not meet specifications? Oh, it's not scale-up. It's a technical problem, you know. It's a process problem. It's a manufacturing process problem, the stability then of the process in general.
Okay.
And with regard to your longer-term questions about sales levels and profitability, please forgive us if we are not having thought through that yet till the very end, but take also into consideration that the guidance we have given with regard to sales and future earnings and profitability, all that was based on our Biotest Next Level project here, including the development of two new products, or rather three new products, a new IgG, next generation IgM concentrate and fibrinogen. And if you recall that in this planning, we always had foreseen that we will serve also the United States market from Dry Ike with the new IVIG. So it was also in our Biotest Next Level planning still always the case that BiviGam would be discontinued, of course not in 2017, but rather in the year later. And so for that, there's for the time being no reason to correct or change our long-term target levels as they have been communicated to you. With regard to the intermediates, in 2017. Indeed, we won't see any intermediate deliveries from Boca to Dry Eich this year. If it will happen again in the year thereafter, depends on the further utilization of the plant by ATMA. There, ATMA would be very pleased to supply us with the intermediates because there are no facilities in the United States to make out of those intermediates then a final product, so they need somebody else to turn those intermediates into final products afterwards. The loss of sales caused by the not shipped intermediates in 2017 is mostly compensated by higher plasma sales, because this plasma sales has been designated to be used in the Bivigam production, and since Bivigam will not be produced at that level as it was originally planned in 2017, we have excess amount of plasma available for third-party sales.
At a higher price.
That's okay, great, thanks. But so I guess, I mean, that sort of then implies that, like, medium term, i.e. before Biotest Next Level kicks in, the operating margins of the continuing business are going to stay, very broadly speaking, on a similar level of 2016. There's no sort of, like, there are no structural boosts to margins in the intermediate term.
I think this conclusion would be a little bit too fast because, as I said before, you know, I think we will be able to receive intermediates from ATMA as soon as they have taken over and made a decision to use the facility in a higher scope as it is used right now.
Okay, thanks. Can I just also ask you a few small technical questions? So one was just, I mean, the extra $30 million on the continuing operations EBIT. I was just wondering what sort of tax rate to apply to that, just sort of your normal German tax rate of, let's say, 30%, or is there a different tax rate? And then I have a couple more of these sort of small questions.
There is no additional tax imposed on those $30 million on the German authorities here because, you know, those activities are based in the United States. We are talking about losses here, so they don't carry any tax burden, and the tax burden will not go up here in Germany by showing this as operating or continued operations result.
Okay, so it will actually be an extra €30 million on reported profit as well, after-tax profit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great, thanks. And then the €50 million exceptional charge, can you just give us the proportion that is cash? I mean, I know you spec'd out the various components, but it would just be really good to get the cash number.
We said to Mr. Teichler that the depreciation of the goodwill therapy at PPC with €16.16 million is not a cash item. Mm-hmm. Also, the depreciation of the Bivigam inventories of €10 million is not a cash item. And also the value difference between the asset transferred and the asset received of €5 million is also not a cash item.
Okay, and the rest is cash?
Yes.
Entirely?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great, thanks. And then just a couple of small questions and then I'm through. In terms of the $11.5 million potential capital increase you've committed to, I mean, is that something that is planned in the near future, or is that sort of time-dependent where you're saying, okay, if ever for some reason in the next 3 to 5 years they want to raise extra capital, we would participate with up to $11.5 million? I mean, I'm just asking because this really sounds like a massive capital increase relative to ADMA's current value. So I'm just wondering if I need to factor any dilution in straight away.
No, it's open when this capital increase will occur, or if it ever occurs. It's depending on, let's say, two different developments. First of all, the development of course, the cash and capital needs of ATMA going forward on the one hand side, but on the other hand, also on the development of the share price of ATMA in the near future. If it would be very attractive, because the share price would go up in the near future due to the launch of the new product, for instance, then ATMA may decide, you know, to take advantage of a capital increase to collect funds for this launch of the new product, for instance.
Okay, great. Thanks. My very final question. So you can purchase ATMA products in the future. You got to write a first refusal. So I was just wondering, you know, what the terms are like. So basically, you would still be purchasing these products on an arm's length basis. And if one of your competitors actually bids more money, they can give that product to one of your competitors.
Since we are a stakeholder of a publicly listed company, you know, the terms have to be at arm's length conditions.
Okay. All right. Very clear. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
And the follow-up question comes from Tom Teichler from Hauck & Aufhäuser. Please go ahead now.
I'd have a couple of follow-up questions. So if ATMA now bought your facility, which obviously has some process issues, so how would they fix them? I mean, are they merging it, or are they shutting down their own facility and moving it to your facility and changing something there? Just to get a feeling for what's actually happening with that facility and how ATMA might eventually benefit from having purchased that facility. That would be one question. The other would be on the other shareholders of the company. I didn't have time to look up who that is, but is there a large shareholding with the founders or something like that? So how likely is the approval? Then I'd have a question also on the tax issue. So basically, you're saying the EBIT, according to the guidance at least, is some 60-65 million. Then I, let's say, deduct 10 million of financial expenses. So I'm left with 50-55 million EBT. And on that, I can apply a 30% tax rate. Would that be the correct calculation?
Okay, so I take the first question, you know, about the facility. ATMA has no facility so far. So they had their product produced in our facility. So
okay.
Now ATMA has access to facility. This facility, you know, is currently anyway producing NABI-HB, so this hyperimmunoglobulin. We have also a contract, a toll manufacturing contract with another company, where we are also manufacturing another hyperimmunoglobulin for a large player. And you know, and the point is that, as I mentioned in the beginning, this facility is rather suited for lower volume but higher margin products like hyperimmunoglobulins than for optimized large volume of IVIG. So, you know, and this will be very likely the strategy, but here you need also to ask ATMA whether this will be at the end the strategy to focus more on only hyperimmunoglobulins or also on the IVIG in the future. So can these things be fixed process-wise? In our opinion, yes.
With regards to the current shareholder structure of ATMA, yes, we can confirm that the founder's family called Crossman, owns 11.4% of the current stocks. Then there are two venture capital funds involved. One is Biomar Capital with 11.1%, and the other one is Eisling Capital with 28%. So if we join the circle of shareholders is ATMA and getting almost 50% of the shares, those numbers will be cut by half. So Eisling Capital will own 14.14%, Biomark 5.5%, and the Grossman family 5.7% in the end. And as you can imagine, that we have already positive shareholder votums from those big stakeholders in ATMA to make sure that this agreement, which we have signed with ATMA, will find the backing of the shareholders.
Okay, and in terms of tax, was that calculation right for your continued operations P&L? Let's say 50 million EBT and a 30% tax rate on that?
No, it's a bigger amount, which is tax-free because deriving from the United States, as I said before, 30 million are coming from the States, they are tax-free, so the remaining would then be applicable to the standard tax rate.
Okay. And in general, the impact on the Q4, how does that split up on the Q4 in terms of EBIT and also net income then?
Please call me again in 4 weeks' time.
Okay. All right.
We are in the middle of, getting the numbers straight and discussed with our auditors, so I'm not in a position yet to split it down into quarterly view on that.
Okay. And the sales level for the U.S. therapy business, how much was that?
Roughly 55 million euros.
5 million, okay. Right. Good. Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
At the moment, there seem to be no further questions. So for any additional questions, please press 9 and star. Please press 9 and the star key if you have any additional questions. And another question comes from Klaus Schlote from Solventis. Please, the line is open again.
Yes, an additional question, please. Concerning the closing of the transaction that will happen in the middle of 17, I think you said, how much?
No, in the first half, yes.
First half, yes. And how much further cash will be needed until closing?
We expect that closing will happen in the middle of the first half, and up to then, you are rightly said, we are still responsible for the BPC therapy business, and the cash needed in that, let's say, 3 month period will be in the range of 5 million.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Any additional questions, please press 9 and star. There are no further questions.
Right. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for participating in this conference call. We will have the full year numbers in our analyst conference in Frankfurt on March 30th. Until then, we would like to say bye-bye and hope to see you in Frankfurt on 30th of March. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.